Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening
of another show. Well, each week there seems to be a new Broadway offering, garnering much attention. The latest, Sunset Boulevard, has just arrived from London. I'll be seeing it soon. And I'll get back to you on this obviously audacious new take, which has received, I'd say, mixed responses so far. Now, this week's other much less extravagant newbie is Left on 10th. Now, this one is based on the memoir by Delia Ephron, the sister of the late and great Nora Ephron, and the daughter of a pair of Hollywood screenwriters. This is a tale of near death, losing loved ones, and finding new partners. And yes, it's a comedy. Mostly. The draw here is the cast, Juliana Margulies and Peter Gallagher. Now, I'll be very surprised if Juliana doesn't earn a Tony nomination. It's a big performance, much of it breaking the fourth wall and telling audiences her story. Is this mostly a woman's show? Probably, though my friend Doug, who lost his wife not long ago, went right to the James Earl Jones Theater to see the show and totally related. I related in other ways, having known Nora and her parents, not the kindest and most sober of parents, as she reminds us here. And I kind of agree, having known them in Beverly Hills decades ago. One character here even discusses having been at Sandy Koufax's perfect game. I was at that game. I almost yelled it out. I assume Left on 10th will have a limited run, but a worthy one. Now, there is news of various kinds this week, including legislatives. Okay, let's start there. The New York City Arts Space Act, no, who knew we had one? I didn't, is seeking to be part of the Affordable Housing Commercial Conversions Program, okay, by adding an affordable arts space component. The proposed bill provides an enhanced property tax exemption in buildings being converted from commercial to residential, assuming that arts is considered in some way. Well, it sounds like a smart idea, and I would expect the arts community to do some serious lobbying. Now, for New York theater happenings, well, Erica Sheffer's new play, Vladimir, is getting nice response. A very slow burn, wrote one critique. This one is directed by Daniel Sullivan for the Manhattan Theater Club. It's an apt play, obviously, for this election season. In a program note, Sheffer mentions her distress at, quote, the most recent rise of extremism and violence in American politics. She began reading about Putin's ascension, she adds, and became interested in the point at which a society finds itself on the brink. Well, I'll be seeing that one when I return to New York. I'm currently on the other coast. And get ready for the new Elton John-scored musical, Tammy Faye, about the well-known televangelist couple and their ministry empire. The production has just arrived at Broadway's Palace Theater after a run on London's West End. This one stars two of my favorite stage stars, two-time Tony winner Christian Borle and two-time Tony winner Michael Cerveris. Lots of twos in that one. I guess this story never gets old. Tammy Faye was most recently a film, of course, which won Jessica Chastain a well-deserved Oscar. The big news off-Broadway is of the personal kind. The longtime leader of the York Theatre Company, a beloved nonprofit known for its emphasis on musical theatre, had to step down after making, quote, hurtful comments about diversity. Now, James Morgan served as producing artistic director of the York since 1997 and has been with the company for 50 years. I was just there a few weeks ago to see a show, and Morgan was an enthusiastic host. But he issued a letter a few days later saying that he had suffered a stroke in 2022 and attributed his suddenly odd behavior to that medical incident. During a recent staff meeting, I responded to a colleague's concern about the diversity of our audiences in a way that was inappropriate and hurtful, Morgan wrote. The words came out at a raised volume that has been one of the side effects of the stroke differently than I intended them. Oh, very sad. And yes, it's hazardous out there these days. Now, on a happier note, producers announced an in-person and digital rush policy for A Wonderful World, the Louis Armstrong musical. That's the new Broadway show, which has just begun performances at Studio 54. A limited number of tickets will be available for $49 through Today Tix, T-I-X. Entry for digital rush tickets will begin at 9 a.m. on the day of each performance and will be available to guests on a first-come, first-served basis. Opening night for A Wonderful World, the Louis Armstrong musical, is Monday, November 11th. I'll be going to see that one. It stars Tony Award winner James Monroe Eagleheart as Louis Armstrong. Four actresses play his wives. Yes, he had four. And here's a treat. As part of its 2024 season, Williamstown Theater Festival presented a production of Rachel Bloom's Death, Let Me Do My Show. Now, during the second weekend of the run, a camera crew joined to capture the performances for a TV special. If you caught the show in Williamstown in person, check to see if you made the cut. If not, you're able to experience this on Netflix. Where else? So many have heard of this festival, but so few ever get a chance to experience it. And here is an odd one. To share a hit show of its spring season with the largest possible audience, Theater for the New City, TNC as it's affectionately known, will remount its production of Orson's Shadow, written by Austin Pendleton and directed by Pendleton and his longtime colleague David Schweitzer. This will happen beginning November 8th and run through December 1st. This was originally mounted as a showcase last March by Pendleton at that theater. It was the first time he had ever directed his own work. That's surprising. I saw that production. It was my second time since I saw Downtown decades ago. And I got to interview the 84-year-old Austin Pendleton. What a treasure. The man never stops. Now, that's for older audiences, of course, since it deals with names like Olivier and Vivian Leigh. Here's one for all generations, the latest film-to-stage adaptation. Yep, Lionsgate is adapting Dirty Dancing for Broadway. Dirty Dancing the musical will launch sometime in late 2025. Eleanor Bergstein, who wrote the film screenplay, is developing the show. The notable death of the week, I'd have to say Mitzi Gaynor, a star from the golden age of musicals, known for roles in There's No Business Like Show Business and South Pacific. She passed away at the age of 93. Gaynor was not a Broadway star per se. The movies were her place, though she did go on stage in a production of Anything Goes. And the book of the week, well, Sonny Boy, the Al Pacino memoir, which many of us have been eagerly awaiting. It's now available. Now, here's a man who started in tiny off-Broadway shows, amazingly became a major Oscar-winning movie star, but always returned to the stage. I saw him in Huey, a one-man piece by Eugene O'Neill, and Glengarry Glen Ross by David Mamet, among others. Here's just one excerpt from the book that stood out about Pacino as a young boy. Quote, "Our class put on The King and I," he recalls, "and I was cast as Louis, the son of the heroine, Anna. I didn't take acting very seriously at that point. It was just a way to get out my energy and especially to get out of my classes. But I somehow became the guy that you simply had to have in these school productions. In eighth grade, we put on Home Sweet Homicide, and I was cast as a kid who helps his widowed mother solve a murder in the house next door. Before I went on stage, someone told me that both my parents were in the audience. It threw me off. To this day, I don't want to know who's in the audience on opening night." End quote. Anyway, lots of great names and memories in this book, including how he drank too much, how he spent too much, the women in his life, and how he almost died of COVID. Anyway, it's a good one. Finally, you can't keep politics out of theater, not this year. Broadway came out to support the Democratic ticket October 14th. Broadway Rallies for Kamala featured Anne Hathaway performing Somebody to Love from Ella Enchanted, Audra McDonald singing Children Will Listen, Billy Porter giving a five-minute sermon and singing Not Today. Anyway, with live streams and social media, the event reached 3 million people nationwide. Now, I suggest you YouTube it, as I did. Audra singing Sondheim. I don't know. How do you beat that? Anyway, I'll see you next week.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.